Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
Stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What's written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of a robber, who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, the Samaritan was moved with pity, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And the man said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Forgiveness is the garment of our courage, the power to make the peace we long to know. Open up our eyes to see the wounds that bind all of humankind. Our shattered hearts greet the dawn of life with charity and love. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my sister. When to the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my sister. Ooh, when I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my sister. Oh, when I look into the face, I see my sister, when I look into the face of my enemy. I see my brother. I see my sister.
A lawyer who wants to justify himself asks Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus replies with the story of bandits, leaving a person half dead in a ditch to be passed by a priest and a Levite. Both of them see the person in the ditch, and then they withdraw to the other side. And most often, this short parable or story is read as a morality tale. That's how it shows up in most of our lives all around us. Jesus is telling us to not be like the priest, not be like the Levite, be like the Samaritan. Inviting us to wonder about who is it that we pass by. For me, migrant laborers who pick the fruit that my family will go and find just after this at the farmer's market. Or migrant laborers who wash dishes in the farm-to-fork restaurants that we pay a lot of money to have meals in. And on this reading, we're called to be like the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. The Samaritan is the archetypal enemy of Jesus's people. Sees the man in the ditch, that Samaritan, the archetypal enemy, sees the man in the ditch as a neighbor and then draws near to him. The priest and the Levite withdrew from the man in the ditch, placing distance between themselves and the man. And in contrast, the Samaritan draws close with vulnerability and openness. You don't know what's going to happen when you draw close to this person that you don't know in the ditch. Draws close to see the pain and the hurt of the man that has been left there. And then I'm left to confess how often I'm tempted to withdraw from those in pain around me, frightened by their needs that can so often just be simply overwhelming. And the morality tale doesn't end with the Samaritan simply seeing and drawing near to that person in the ditch. The Samaritan also embodies compassion, does good and avoids harm by reaching in love, as we say it here at the table. Seeing those in need is important, and then drawing near to them is critical, but compassionately doing something about it seems to be the Christ-like next step that we're called to put into action in our own lives through this little tale. New Testament scholar Caroline Lewis writes, "We expend a lot of energy in our lives toward decided detachment, disengagement, and disenfranchisement. Sometimes these decisions are very much justified for our own safety, our self-preservation, our self-care, but other times our distance is decided by our determination not to change, our resistance to intimacy, our rejection of those persons who might actually expose who we truly are. If the Levite and the priest came near, well, they would then have to face some truths about themselves that I suspect they would rather not admit," she writes, "and that they have spent a lifetime pretending, hoping, even ensuring don't exist. Who is my neighbor means, according to Jesus, a commitment to coming near." It's a powerful parable calling us to go and do likewise in our daily lives. And there's a group in New York City called the Rescue Mission that created a provocative video that invited invites many of us into questions about who we pass by. And so they do this by inviting us into the ways we pass by those on the streets who appear unhoused or homeless to us, displaced. Our tendency when we see someone to then withdraw to the other side of the road. And there's a blogger named Michael Parsons whose blog invited me into this video this week. And I want to share this with you. And to set it up for just a moment, what they did was they invited a family member. So if you're here with a family member, think of that person right next to you. They invited you to come to their studio. And the invitation was to talk about your close relationship with that family member that you're thinking about. The trouble is they invited the family member there before and had them dress up as an unhoused or displaced person and put them right outside of the studio. And you walked past them as you got ready to go and tell how close you were with this family member of yours. So let's watch.
My sister and her family have lived in New York for like 8 years now. She took care of me when I was a little kid because my parents were working.
Every Sunday I cook, and so my uncle calls me and he'll be like, hey, what you making?
Nobody meets in bars anymore, but I met my wife in a bar and, 34 years later, still working.
My grandma had a lot of costumes from the theater that she started. When we were kids, we'd dress up in those costumes and we'd put on little sketches for the family.
In my whole life, I've always felt like we were like a team, my brother and I. I think there's nobody who can understand you quite like your family.
That's my cousin.
That's really weird.
I know she's not homeless because I just hung out with her a couple weeks ago, but I mean, I did not know that person walking, when I was walking by, it was her.
It's, you know, when things are a lot more real than you expect, so.
Time we pass by, we have that moment to either withdraw to the other side, to draw near. And as good as we long to be, we have a lot of priest and Levite in most of us. What the film does not tell us, however, is how the family members who appeared as unhoused or displaced, how they felt sitting out there being passed by. What if this parable, which has come to be called the parable of the Good Samaritan, and actually Jesus never says Good Samaritan, that phrase doesn't show up. What if this isn't merely or even primarily a morality tale to go and be like the Samaritan, but is instead a story intended to remind us or evoke within us empathy towards the one that's in the ditch? Jewish New Testament scholar who teaches at Vanderbilt, Amy Jill Levine, says it this way. In the contemporary Jewish context, as soon as the story mentions a priest and a Levite, everybody knows that the third person is going to be an Israelite. A priest, a Levite, an Israelite. It's like going Larry, Moe, Curly. Yeah. See, biblical scholars all around us. The shock is that the third one, Larry, Moe, Curly, Fred, right, is a Samaritan. And the Samaritans were the enemies. We should see ourselves not as the Samaritan, she writes, but as the person in the ditch who's saying, who's going to help me? And who then realizes that the enemy, The one we think is going to kill us is the very one who will save us. As we just sang, when I look into the eye of my enemy, I see my brother, my sister. Jesus seems to go one step further here, my Savior. Go, be a good Samaritan. It's a powerful ethical call for every generation. But what if this little story that is now everywhere in our culture, as the waters move in New Orleans, I'm prepared for the stories of good Samaritans who put themselves aside to rescue a person in various places. And we think, you know, priest, Levite, Israelite. And Jesus says, priest, Levite, Samaritan. See, Jesus chooses in this story a Samaritan, the archetypal enemy, to act like he would act in the parable. Wow, that's putting on some clothes that might not be noticeable. He chooses an outcast to play his role in this short morality tale. The hearers of the ancient story would tend to see Samaritans as enemies, not as siblings, and certainly not as those that would save them. And Jesus chooses this enemy to demonstrate God's action in the world. And remember, just the chapter before, the Samaritans had rejected Jesus. So Jesus turns these expectations upside down and makes those that had rejected him the hero of the story. I started to feel how provocative and even uncomfortable this little parable might actually be for folks like myself who move through the world with a number of privileges. As I was reading the poetic words of a pastor named Steve Garness Holmes this week, his words challenge me, and I hope they'll speak a word of affliction to those among us who might feel or tend toward the comfortable in our daily lives. This is how Pastor Steve reflects on this text. People say you should go be a good Samaritan. You can't. Samaritans were despised outsiders. Good or not, you have too much privilege to be a Samaritan. That's for queer folks, immigrants, transgender people, black folks, the homeless. You can be good. You can be generous to strangers, even to your enemy, but you're not the hero of this story. You can't be. You're the one in the ditch. Your neighbor is the other one. You call them rapists, and they pick your fruit. You call them shiftless and dangerous, and they build your economy. You abhor them, and they bless you. Stop making it about you. Confess your dependence. Receive your neighbor's grace. Be humbly grateful. Let yourselves be neighbors. The parable closes with Jesus' command to go and do likewise. And I've always tended to read this as go and be the good Samaritans. And friends, we all know that's no easy task. But I'm wondering this week if the call might be even more dangerous, more provocative. Who do I have the hardest time imagining God working through and then expecting that God's going to show up in that person? And then it becomes go, be open to having those you see as enemy draw near to you. Go, be open to having those you see as enemy draw near to save you. So for those of us that might be able to see ourselves in the ditch, who might God be sending to draw near? What would it look like for you to be open to those people? How would it be to receive their compassion? We're calling this four-week worship series that we're in a Block Party. And next Sunday, I love that photo. Next Sunday, after our 11 a.m. worship, we're going to turn our lawn, this is the image, into a block party. And as Linda shared last week, Paul Geyer is going to pull up. He has this huge smoker that's really awesome. And so he's going to pull up, and he will take care of smoking meats so that we'll have that outside. And then everything else is up to us, up to each one of us. Side dishes or games or desserts. Maybe taking something from today's parable to heart, even finding ways to turn a block party into a riff on this 21st century parable of Jesus's. We have plenty of cracks, actually, in the concrete right out there. Lots of cracks. And what if some of those cracks next week could become ditches? And those that we've seen as enemies could draw near to us or to one another, draw near by the God who draws close to every hurting part of creation. What if next week could be this remarkable expression of healing and hope as those cracks become ditches and we make ourselves open to being saved by those that we maybe have seen as other in the past or follow in the way of the Samaritan and go and draw near to those that we've passed by? And what if we don't even have to actually wait till next Sunday? What if we have an opportunity just this morning to do that very thing right here at the table? In just a moment, we'll confess the ways that we fall short because we struggle to draw near to others. We push each other away. We make folks enemies instead of siblings. And in response, we'll be reminded of God's forgiveness. And then we'll share God's peace together with the symbol that Linda invited us to reflect on last week by offering peace to those right around us and then receiving that same peace. It's a way of reconciling and healing, practicing that right here together, being shaped by the sacrament that calls us to go and be the body and the love of Christ in the world. And we'll go out into the world to do that, and that is precisely when it starts to get awkward. And this happens almost every Sunday at the table. We don't talk about this very often. Usually people come and find us at various moments during the week, either Pastor Linda or myself. And they say things to us like, "No one talks to me after worship." Sometimes folks are really able to like take some personal responsibility in that, and they acknowledge, "It's kind of awkward for me to go and talk to somebody else. I'm not sure what to say to them." And then we have conversations about what's happening outside. And there's often this assumption here at the table that everyone around has known everyone for all of their lives and that I am the only new person, like I'm the only one that's in the ditch. Why is no one saving me? And everyone finds themselves in that place. And the struggle is real, and I tease a little bit about it because it's real for all of us. Like that vulnerability of actually drawing near to someone that you don't know, it's way more tempting to withdraw from that person and go to the person like, "I know Victor really well. We can just sit here, talk about nothing. Whew, thank you, Victor. I don't have to talk to all of these other folks." Like, the temptation is real. I get it. And there are ditches right outside of this sanctuary. The concrete might remind us of them. And we have an opportunity to see those ditches or those concrete cracks as you just try to head toward whoever brought the red bike outside. What is that called? Thanks, we got jump bikes out there. So whether you're going to your jump bike or to your bike or to your car or walking home, we actually have opportunities to pause. And some of us are moving away from those that are unfamiliar to us because we just want to retreat into what is familiar. And some of us have had profound experiences in worship, whether it was a song that was sung or something that happens at communion, and you're frankly not ready to talk to anyone. And all those things are real and true and valid. And many of us are wanting to feel included, but we're unsure how to draw near to others. So what if today could just be a day to literally practice our faith as we go out from this place? Perhaps the morality tale version of this parable can compel us to see someone that we've passed by and then to move through our fears and to draw near to them and to offer compassion, becoming a neighbor. And what if the upside down version of this parable is calling us to realize that we're the one in the ditch? And our task this morning may be to simply open ourselves to having others draw near to us. Either way, may the table shape us to join God in the block party of abundant life this day and every day. Lord, I wanna love.
comes to your presence, when it comes to your voice, I'm learning to listen, just to rest in your nearness. I'm starting to notice you are speaking. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit, when it comes to your